Thanks, Rick. Phones are funny, aren't they? Because you're either on Instagram doing something because you're bored with what's going on, or you're actually reading the Bible. That's what I tend to be doing. One of the other. No, usually reading the Bible if I'm at church. All right. Welcome, everybody. It's good to be with you. We're thinking this month about how to live in peace. And I was going to ask the kids a question, but they're a bit busy right now. So I wonder, as we ask this question, how to live in peace, if right at this moment you can think about your favorite place to be. Where is your favorite place where you feel like things are great? Where you get to relax? Where you get to do the... where for you is that place? The place that you love to be. We're going to think this month, over the next few weeks, about how to live at peace with God, how to live at peace with ourselves, and how to live at peace with other people. And I don't know about you, but it's been a pretty significant week this week, where we've heard lots about how we're going to be able to live at peace with each other now that we have left the European Union. Now, I don't know whether you're a Daily Mail reader who thinks that Friday was the best thing that's happened to this country, or whether you're a Guardian reader who was mourning on Friday and weeping into your drink, probably a Belgian beer. Not you kids, obviously. I do believe that as Christians, we should be involved in politics, in what's going on around us, but I also believe that as Christians, we need to remember what the scripture says, that our citizenship is in heaven. And so what we see going on around us may influence us, but it doesn't necessarily define us. And the story of Jesus calming the storm makes the point that our peace as Christians, as those who follow Jesus, or those who are trying to learn to live after the pattern of Jesus, are not defined by what's going on around us, but are defined by what's going on within us and trusting in the word of the Lord. Don't forget that most of the New Testament, which speaks to us about living in peace, was written during the Pax Romana, the peace of Rome. Now, if you don't know anything about Roman, anybody know anything about Rome, Roman soldiers, anything like that? Have you ever seen a picture of a Roman army? Well, there aren't any photos, but I found this online. This is a toy set that you can buy. You know those little sets that you buy and then you paint them all together and it looks all very realistic and lovely? This is the toy set that you can buy to illustrate the Pax Romana. Anybody who knows what irony means, notice any irony in the photo of this image. There's soldiers who are using their battle arms to fight against other people. And this is an illustration of peace. You see, I would suggest that if you lived in the Roman Empire, it wasn't very peaceful if you were one of the countries they were trying to invade. It wasn't very peaceful if you ended up in slavery. And it wasn't very peaceful if you went around saying, God loves you and I'm the incarnation of that love, because the Pax Romana took Jesus to the cross. And then the 11 disciples who saw Jesus risen from the dead ended up losing their lives because of the one that they followed. Not very peaceful. So how then do we live in peace in the midst of all that's going on? Well, I don't know how many of you like Asterix. I like Asterix a lot. In fact, it was like my go-to when I was, you know, when you had like a sick day and mum said you couldn't have the TV in your bedroom, so you had to read. So I read, and I read Asterix, and I loved Asterix. And Asterix started on the right is the inside page that was in every single Asterix book. And Asterix was French, and he lived in France, and in those days, France was called Gaul. And so Asterix is called Asterix the Gaul. And it says this, the year is 50 BC. Gaul is entirely occupied by the Romans. Well, not entirely. One small village of indomitable Gauls still holds out against the invaders. And that set the scene for every Asterix story. Asterix, this Gaulish guy, French guy who's resisting the Roman rule. And actually, for those of us who are Christians and are able to get this particular concept, it's a fascinating study of what it means to live surrounded by a culture that's completely different to you and trying to live faithful to the culture that you are part of. What it means to live as citizens of heaven in the midst of a very different culture. But Caesar, the Roman ruler, wanted to take over the village that Asterix lived in. So here's one of his plans.
The invincible might of Rome, like the talons of the falcon, it has closed upon every single continent, except here in Brittany, where a handful of indomitable Gauls continue to ridicule Rome and mock its imperial eagle. Their beloved forest will give way to glorious mansions. Roman civilization will encroach upon them until they are forced to adapt or perish.
What name do you plan on giving your glorious city?
The Mansions of the Gods.
Will someone get vital statistics? Hey. Tell the chief it's important.
He's in a meeting. Can I take a message?
What can we do about it, Gettifix?
Make way for civilization. We are going to deforest their forest.
I have an idea, but I already know you won't like it.
Ouch. We could thrash him. Give the Romans a licking.
That's it. That was my idea.
Did everyone take a nice big swing?
No.
Civilians. We have to find a way to get rid of the civilians without thrashing them.
Say it, everyone! Yes, we can!
No, we can't.
Huh? Okay, so we can't thrash the Romans, but we can...
How much is your mackerel, sir?
Cheaper than Rome.
Mansions of the Gods special, 40 sistresses.
A bargain!
The harm is that you all turned into avaricious morons.
Not true! We were already morons way before the Romans came!
Gauls want to live like Romans.
His plan is working much better than expected.
We have a village to raise.
If you think you can knock down one tree per night and then sit around growing toe fungus...
Present!
Zip it, toe fungus!
And
you shall not pass!
God, give it a rest, you old fart!
Let's focus on the positive. Our motivation is intact, and that's what matters.
So there you go.
I'm a pretty pickle, aren't I?
That's what happened when Caesar put a plan together. It's not fact, obviously. But this is a picture of Asterix when he took the magic potion. Their druid called Gettifix was the guy who brewed up this potion, which meant that they could defeat the Romans. And as I was thinking about this magic potion, it struck me that those of us who follow Jesus are not doing this alone. We have the presence and power of the Holy Spirit to fill us so that we can stand against some of the battles going on around us and some of the battles going within us. We don't have to rely on our own strength. We can rely on the strength that God gives us. You see, Jesus teaches that peace, or Jesus, the way that Jesus talks about peace is referencing the word from the Old Testament, shalom. Turn to the person next to you and say, shalom. Shalom. Shalom is a word in Hebrew that means peace, but it means way more than peace. It talks about security and safety. It means prosperity and joy. It's a little bit like being in your favorite place, maybe sitting on a comfy chair by a nice warm fire like Winnie the Pooh. Shalom is like that place that you feel safe, the place that you feel secure, the place where you feel like everything's going to be okay. Because the truth about Jesus is that not only is he the one who is able to be asleep in the midst of this crazy storm, he's also the one who can give you peace in the midst of the storms that you are going through, as we choose to live in God's shalom. It's not always easy, as we learn from the disciples. This is Rembrandt's version of the calming of the storm, and you can see the panic on the disciples' faces, and this is just after Jesus has woken up. But can you imagine what it's like with the waves smashing around and the wind blowing really strong? And these are fishermen. These are people who know what it's like to be on the lake in Galilee, and suddenly they're terrified and they think they're going to lose their lives. This is about as bad as it gets, and Jesus is asleep. Now, Jesus knew that the Father had called him to go to the other side to set this guy free from lots of demons. He had confidence in the Father and was able to choose to trust in God, that he could be at peace in the midst of this terrifying storm. You see, sometimes for us, peace is that feeling. But sometimes peace is a choice that we have to make. And when the storms rage around us, we choose to live in God's shalom peace. We are safe because of God's love. That is the battle. But when we're surrounded, we haven't got magic potion, but we have got the Holy Spirit to fill us with peace and confidence so that we don't have to be defined by our circumstances, but by God's presence and power. The old English word for peace that doesn't come from the Latin pax was frith, and it meant happiness. And it's connected to our word for friend. And more often than not, God sends his Holy Spirit to give us peace. But he also uses each other, one another, encouraging, strengthening, and comforting each other in the midst of what we're going through. So God offers us peace, but it's not peace in the way that the world gives it. It's not the Pax Romana, it's the power of God. And the Holy Spirit reminds us that through Jesus, we live in the Father's house. It's like we come to the Father's house with Jesus' arm around us, and he says, "You're welcome here." Chris sent me on Instagram a song that's only just been released about the Father's house. And we're going to watch the video for it now. And we're just going to take the time for this song to play to allow the Holy Spirit to breathe his peace into us. That you might know that in Christ, you are welcome in the Father's house. And that in the Father's house, there is safety, there is security, there is peace. So sit back and let this speak to you.
Sometimes on this journey, I get lost in my mistakes. What looks to me like weakness is the canvas for your strength. And my story isn't over, and my story's just begun. And failure won't define me, 'cause that's what my Father does. Failure won't define me, 'cause that's what my Father does. Burdens down. Ooh, here in the Father's house, check your shame at the door. It ain't welcome anymore. Ooh, you're in the Father's the end game. The journey's where you are. You never wanted perfect, you just wanted my heart. And the story isn't over if the story isn't good, nah. And failure's never final when the father's in the room.
I said,
failure's never final when the father's in the room. Prodigals come home, the helpless find home, the love is on the move when the father's in the room. The prison doors fling wide, the dare come to life, the love is on the move when the father's in the room.
Hey,
miracles take place, the cynical find faith. Love is breaking through when the father's in the room. Jericho walls are quaking, strongholds now are shaking. Love is breaking through when the father's in the room. Yeah, yeah. Love is breaking through when the father's in the room. Oh, lay your burdens down. Oh, here in the father's house, check your shame.
Father, thank you that Jesus modeled to us what it would mean to live in peace. Not that everything would be easy, but that through the challenges, we'd be able to trust in you. And thank you that you send your Holy Spirit to help us in our storms, the storms that rage within and the storms that are raging around us. Just take a moment to bring to the Lord those storms that are within you. And receive his shalom. And Lord, we pray for the situations around us in this world, where your shalom, where your peace does not reign. For those who are in leadership making decisions, that those decisions would be good, that they would be for the best of the many, not the few. And that we, Lord, would be those who not only live at peace in ourselves, but are able to be peacemakers in the world in which we live, and demonstrate to others the peace of heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.